There you go. Double M. I ate an MRE once. It wasn't half bad. It was rice and beans. It was good. The dessert was awful, but everything else was good. Okay. Ready to go, Josh? Unity and diversity founded upon the love of Christ for us and through us. I walked out last Sunday recognizing that I had one more week. And I prayed as I was walking out the building, just thought occurred to me, God, I've got one more shot at this. And I prayed, help me finish well, help me finish strong. And so I've asked you for 4 weeks to listen as I gave you my heart, presented my heart, and this is the last of those 4 weeks, so I do pray, God, help me finish well, God, help me finish strong. And I'm not going to do as I usually do here and pray for you. Rather, I would just ask you to pray for me today and to pray for yourself and to pray for one another, that whatever God has to speak to us, we would be receptive to. And so I'm just going to shut up for a minute and wait and just allow you in your hearts to silently pray for yourself, for me, and for one another.
Here is love. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who is love will not remember, who will cease, who can cease to sing His praise. He will never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days.
Would it not advance, Josh, or did you just forget to advance? There we go.
On the mount of crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide, through the flood gates of God's mercy flow the vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers flowed incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love.
Let me all thy love,
let me all thy love accepting, love thee ever all my days. Let me seek thy kingdom only, and my life be to thy praise. Love and love,
thou alone.
Thou alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. Thou hast cleansed the and sanctified me. Thou thyself hast set me free. Here is love, vast as the ocean. Loving kindness serves the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us His precious blood.
Amen. Okay, so I hope to make today's message shorter than usual, and in order to help, I'll forego review. I know some of you haven't been here for all of this, but I will simply say just this, reviewing what we've talked about. We're talking about unity. Unity within the Church of Jesus Christ, predicated on the love of Christ for the purpose of bringing honor to Christ, centered on the person and the work of Christ. Bring that down a little bit, Josh. Unity in diversity, okay? Diversity, we talked about several arenas. Racial, ethnic, and cultural diversity. Generational diversity. Gender diversity. Socioeconomic diversity. And convictional diversity. And I contend that this is God's plan for His church, and He purposes for His church to be made up of vastly different folks, all united together in the love of Christ. Unity in diversity, founded on the love of Christ for us and through us. Unity in diversity is only achievable and only desirable because Christ loved us. And His love for us enables us to love one another. So ultimately, I'm convinced that unity in diversity is God honoring, Christ exalting, church edifying, and world changing. Okay, so that's it for review. Short review, right? The rest of the time I have 2 points to make. The first is a final word concerning diversity of convictions, and then the second point is to bring us back to where we started, the love of Christ for us and through us. I do not have a scripture text today. Instead, I'll be presenting several passages of scripture throughout. Convictional diversities. We talked about it. Areas that the scripture leaves gray and leaves room for us to be led by the Spirit in diverse ways. The question arises for me, is it ever appropriate to speak into the lives of one another? In these areas, especially. From what I've said thus far, you might reach the conclusion that I'm saying that we're all islands unto ourselves. But the Scripture does teach us, for instance, in Hebrews, to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. Hebrews 10:24. So perhaps my brother's liberties moving in the direction of libertinism. Sorry if you're not sure what I'm talking about by these words. Get the CDs from the previous weeks. Which, by the way, free of charge, Josh, see him after church. Any or all of these 4 messages, he'll be happy to burn for you. Perhaps my brother's liberties are moving in the direction of libertinism, which is to say I have no rules. There's nothing constraining my actions. Or perhaps my sister's convictions are becoming bondage. Or more than that, legalism. My rules must be your rules. Is it ever appropriate to speak into the lives of others about it? And the answer I offer you today is a qualified yes. Qualified yes. Okay. The qualification, we read it in Romans chapter 14 a couple of weeks ago. Romans 14:22 says, so whatever you believe about these things, keep it between yourself and God. So there's the balance. On the whole, we ought to, as I said a couple of weeks ago, let one another be in the areas of convictions and diversities. But clearly, I need, and you need, folks to help us see our blind spots sometimes. And we need folks to help to spur us on to love and good works. So yes, there are times when even in the areas that are not black and white, eating meat sacrificed to idols, whatever. I'm going to add three caveats, okay? Caveats, sort of things to balance or to warn us to not go overboard. Three caveats to help us determine how and when to speak into the lives of others. The first of those caveats is to trust. And I'm not thinking specifically here of trusting one another, but of trusting God. Philippians 1:6 says it like this: I am confident of this. Listen closely to the words. I am confident of this, and I say to every one of you here, I am confident of this. He who began a good work in you will perform it to bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Sorry, I'm getting my King James and my NIV mixed up. Romans 8:29 says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, so that God, if God has called you and if you have trusted him, your end is sure. He who began a good work will perform it, and I'm trusting God. So it is God's job and not mine to fix all that's wrong with you. And I will trust that God is at work in your life as he is in my life, remedying my failures. So that if I am genuinely compelled and feel led of the Lord to speak into your life, I ought to do so trusting that God is sovereignly directing you toward his desired end. Second caveat: anything and everything that we speak into the lives of others must be seasoned with grace. Freddie's not here today. He talked a few weeks ago about Ron Brown, preacher. He said, when I hear Ron Brown speak, I taste grace. You know, the scripture says that our words should taste like grace. Colossians says it this way: let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. So that if I cannot speak into your life with words that are gracious and grace-filled, I ought not speak at all. Gracious conversation entails humility, gentleness, and genuine concern for your good, and ought not be out of an attempt to prove that I'm right and you're wrong. Caveat. I'm borrowing a phrase from a gentleman by the name of Jim Rayburn. Anybody know who Jim Rayburn is? He's the founder of Young Life, which is a ministry to unchurched young people, particularly, but not exclusively, in urban areas. Jim Rayburn talks about earning the right to be heard. So the third caveat is that we must earn the right to be heard, to earn the right to speak into the lives of others. Proverbs 27:6 says this: wounds from a friend can be trusted. Which I take to mean that when one has genuinely proved himself to be a friend to me, and when he speaks correction or discipline or rebuke, his words will be valued. Conversely, words of correction and discipline and rebuke from someone who is not proven to be a friend, someone who has not earned the right to speak to me, will probably do more harm than good. And I have two illustrations. What time is it? Two illustrations. Nadia, you want to come up here? Nadia is one of my illustrations. She's also dressed in camouflage in honor of our soldiers today. Nadia is in my PE class. Flex for him, Nadia. And so several weeks ago, somebody came into the PE class, I think it was one of Nadia's brothers, and said, can we have a race today? And I said, sure, we can have a race. It was Joel's taking credit for that one. Sure, we can have a race. And so we start heading outside, and I'm saying to the kids on the way out, some of you guys will probably beat me. I'm an old guy, and I got bad knees. And I was thinking particularly this one would beat me. And so we raced, and lo and behold, I won. I won. Nadia came in second. She came in 2 or 3 seconds behind me. I don't know. So the next day, Joel says, can we race again? And I said, sure. So we're on our way out the door, and I said, Nadia, come here. If you want to run faster, you remember what I told you?
Yes. You've got to keep your, you've got to have your body straight, have your knees up when you're running, and pace yourself when you, when you're,
Go ahead. You're doing good.
When you're going for the first run, and then when you go for the second run, still pacing yourself. And then when you're really getting close, then you pour it all out, and then you really do it.
Okay. So we went out and we raced, and I won again. And I know, it's, you know, I've beaten, how old are you, 12?
Yeah.
I beat a 12-year-old girl. Okay, no big, you know, thing. But look, she's fast. She's strong. She wants to be a runner. So we went out and we raced again. I won. But this time, Nadia was right on my heels. I had to push to beat her. She was a half second behind me. And when I had said to her, Nadia, I got, you know, if you want to run faster, and I gave her a couple of, I gave her two of those the first time. I gave her a couple more later. As soon as I said, stand up straight and pick up your knees, her face just beamed. And she looked at me and she said, thank you, Pastor Craig. So we went out and we raced again one more time this past Thursday. And I was running to win. I told her, I'm a competitor. I'm not going to let you win. She's like, I didn't want you to. But we got close to the finish line, and I began to yell at her. She'd been pacing herself. She'd been doing all those things. And I'm yelling, Nadia, pour it on. Push it. Give it all you got.
Mm-hmm.
We tied. We tied. She'll beat me someday. She'll beat me someday. And here's the thing. When she does, it might be, it might be, this, that's why I canceled PE Tuesday, because I don't want to get, when she beats me, I will have won something more valuable than the race. I will have won at the better, more important task of helping somebody achieve their potential. So here's the point. I thought about it. I've earned the right to speak into Nadia's life, at least in this one area. You know, because I get out of bed an hour early in the morning, and I sweat, and I encourage, and I'm there beside these guys, and they know what I'm there for. I'm there to help them. I've proven to be a friend in the arena of PE, at least. And I can't help wonder what Nadia might have said if Joel had said, or Micah had said, Nadia, if you want to run faster, she might have said, mind your own business, you know? Okay. Thank you, Nadia. You're a great racer, great student. Second illustration of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about earning the right to speak into the people's lives. I asked Christy's permission to tell this story. Christy similarly came to me several weeks ago after church and asked if she could talk to me. Christy was going through some rough times. She was discouraged and she hadn't been to church in several weeks. And she told me that morning that her dear friend Kansas had called her out. Called her on the phone that morning and said, you need to be in church. Your kids need you there. You need to be there to receive. Christy got up, got her kids ready, and brought them. And she told me, this is where I need to be. These are the people that I need to be with. If I had made that phone call, if Jeff had made that phone call, if Alan had made that phone call, may not have got the same reaction. But Kansas has proven to be a friend, and Christy knows she's there for my good. So she received a word of encouragement, but she received it from a friend, someone she trusted, someone who she knew beyond shadow of a doubt meant her good. She needed those words from somebody who had earned the right to speak. The wounds of a friend can be trusted. So is it ever right for me to speak into the lives of others? Clearly, there are times when we may and we should, provided that we speak with trust in the Holy Spirit and not ourselves, provided that our words are well seasoned with grace, and provided that we have earned the right to speak into the lives of another. Okay? That was point one. Point two, final point. I've got three more pages. I'll be done here in 5 minutes at the most. I've sought over the last 4 weeks to be as gentle and as unabrasive as I could be. And some of you have encouraged me to get tough, and some of you have encouraged me to be more direct, and I appreciate that counsel, but I felt that the right thing for me to do was to err on the side of mercy and graciousness. And I say that because the final point isn't quite as gentle. It may sound harsh. And I pray that if you are offended, if you are wounded by these words, you will receive these words as the wounds of a friend. So I was talking to somebody last week after the meeting who said something to the essence of, what's the big deal? We do love each other. And before I could think, before I thought, the words flew out of my mouth. No, we don't. No, we don't. So the last point is we don't love each other. I got up this morning and listened to all 3 weeks of this so far. And I did say at the end of one, the first message, we do love each other. We just don't love each other perfectly. And that's true. But in reality, our love falls very short. My love falls very short. Christ accepted us. It's time we seek to accept one another. Christ laid down his life for us. Time that we lay down our lives for each other. And I realize that I've spent quite a bit of time talking about convictional diversities in particular and other kinds of diversities, but in reality, that's not the chief issue. The love of Christ for us and through us is the chief issue. And I'm just going to pour out my heart just for a moment here. 17 years ago, when we began Abundant Life Fellowship, I would tell people this is where folks could come that were wounded and be healed. Sadly, oftentimes folks come here and receive wounds. Some folks here today are wounded and not with friendly wounds. Some folks are not here any longer, because they've been wounded, not with friendly wounds. And as I say that, I realize this, I bear responsibility. I haven't fostered or modeled or encouraged or taught love as I should. I'm not blaming you. I take the blame. But I ask you to forgive me of my failings and to join me, follow me, as I seek to follow Christ in this arena especially. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that convinces me that I don't love you as I should. And I'm going to read, and I'm going to just pause between each phrase of this and allow you to consider the words of the Lord and allow you to examine in your own life where you don't love one another as you should. And just for your information, the reading I'm going to present is an amalgamation of translations I picked and chose. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not pompous. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable. I like this one. Love does not brood over injury. Love does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love always protects. Love is ever ready to believe the best in every person. Love's hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. Love endures all things. So as I read through that list of things that love does and doesn't do, I recognize that I fall short. In a lot of those areas, I fall short. And as one who falls short, I seek to do the only thing I know to do. To embrace the grace of God to forgive my sins, and to embrace the grace of God to help me to overcome my sins. So I close with one final reading from the Holy Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the word of the Lord. And so, I presented my heart, said what I feel the Lord wants me to say, and I'm going to do something different now. I promise that we offer time for questions, comments, and rebuttals, and we will, but before we do, I'm going to give an altar call, which means I'm going to say, if you believe that the Lord is leading you and leading us to love more fully, to love as Christ loves, to love as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us to love. If you believe that that is what God intends for us in our diversity, then the altar call is for you. And if you don't feel that you, if you feel like, no, I don't, you're off, all off course, I'll still love you. You're still welcome here, as far as I'm concerned. I'm convinced that this is the word of the Lord for us. So if you would join me and commit yourself to say, God, I want to love you more to receive your love more and to give it freely to people who aren't like me. If you will commit yourself to God and to each other, then I just ask you to come and stand with me together. I would like us to pray to the Lord. Get in as close as you can and as much as we can. I'd just like you to find somebody and join hands. Spread out there a little more, guys. Keep winding around. Wind, 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 wind. Ha. Oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, my God. We're doing good. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to ask my brother Jeff to pray for us. In fact, I'll go in reverse order. Jeff, I'll prefer my brother. Pray that God would help us, and together in our hearts, let us commit ourselves to seeking His kingdom and His kingdom only, to seeking to love as Christ loved, to serve as He served. Go ahead, Jim.
Dear Jesus, Lord, as you have called us together, Lord, from many tribes and nations, Lord, that you have called us to be one, in Christ, Lord. That's, you are our unity. Lord, and we love you and honor you.
Yes, we do.
Lord, it is you that have brought us together, Lord. Please, Lord, rekindle that love for our brothers and sisters.
Lord,
the love that once burned bright and pure, Lord. Please, relight that fire, Lord, because we've, for whatever reason, Lord, we've just let the cares of the world, Lord, our jobs and the old creature that we were, Lord. We just let that fire grow dim, Lord. And you let it go out. Lord, just please work a miracle in each of our hearts.
Grant it, Lord.
That we are just gonna say right here and right now that we love you because you loved us. And now because of that love, we love each other, Lord. That's what the world's going to see. They're going to see that we're not like them, Lord, because we love each other. Not in spite of, but because of our differences.
Indeed, Lord. Amen.
And because of our differences, Lord, because now Rudy can talk to people that speak Spanish. Joy can talk to people that are from the Philippines, Lord. And we have different talents, Lord, different perspectives. And Lord, please show us how to use it for your glory, Lord, to use everything you've given us to make us one in Christ. To make us one in Christ.
One in Christ, Jesus.
We're pleading with you. We can't do it, Lord. We don't want to do it. But Lord, if you work in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we can't fail.
Amen.
We can't fail.
Amen.
Jesus, please, we love you. We're asking in the power of your blood, Lord.
Lord, I come with grateful heart for these people, for this response, for their heart. And before them, Lord, I repent of not loving as I ought to. And I ask that you'd work in each of us a repentance for where we have fallen short, for where we have been less than patient and less than kind, less than long-suffering. And now here we stand, Lord, committing ourselves to you and to one another, saying that, as Jeff said, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, We desire to seek genuine unity in our lives, in our hearts, and in this place. So grant it, God. Grant it, God. Do in us what we cannot do in our own strength. Help us to love like Jesus loves, to serve as He serves. So we bless You and we honor You as the people of God. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hug somebody. Make your way back to your seat.
Thank you so much, Greg. You were right on target. I hope you know that.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Love you, buddy. God bless you, Sharon. Hey, my friend. Trevor, God bless you, my friend.
Bless you.
Thank you, buddy. Harry.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. God bless you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, thank you. Hey, sweetie. Good job. God bless you, buddy. Thank you all. That was nice. I got lots of hugs. Warm hugs. We went along longer than I anticipated. No big surprise, right? And lunch is waiting for us, so but if you have a pressing question or comment that you'd like to offer, I'd be happy to give you time for that. Yes, George. George, hang on one second, okay? Debbie, would you take my turkey out of the oven? Thank you very much. Angela, did you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Nadia.
When you were talking about me and you said you were screaming at me when you were raising, well, actually, it really sounded to me like you were encouraging.
I was encouraging you. And that's the point. We ought to encourage each other. Thank you all so much. Thank you all. CDs are available today in all 4 weeks. We're going to be a little late with lunch. There's lots of work to do in the basement, getting things heated up. So if you can help get some food prepared, it'll make our wait a little shorter because we are going to be behind schedule. So may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ, so that with one heart and mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Love you, friends. Let's go eat.